What is going down, everyone? It's time for Mojo Break the Hype, episode 334. We're in a hotel now. They kicked us out. Got too many breaks to do, so different like background that we're doing now. But no, we're dressing this place up, new studio. We've got lots of stuff to talk about today. Wemby 101 was pulled. Caitlin Clark's throwing down 41 points in a big game. And we also got 2024 Bowman. The checklist is out. We're going to dissect it, tell you, you know, what teams have the most power, what rookies to chase, what first Bowmans are ranked the highest. So definitely check that out. And for you guys looking for new releases, brand new Sterling Baseball is out today. We got Revolution Basketball on Friday, which I know is C-Rad's favorite. Woo. And if you guys want to save 10% off on those, we don't run too many coupons, use code MYMOJO, and it's a limited time only. You get 10% off any of those new releases on mojobreak.com. So load up now, save big, and chase Galactics, chase Logo Mans in Flawless, we're still doing. We're also got Sterling Logo Mans, Cut Autos, Dual Autos, all that fun stuff. So we're going to start off with this week in the hobby. Big Wemby, the dumb alien drawing card that I hate, was pulled. And apparently it's the biggest Dynasty card in the history of Dynasty cards. Is that truth or fiction?
Interesting.
It's kind of disrespectful in a way because it's a baseball product, right?
And we're
saying that a basketball guy is the biggest Dynasty card ever. Now, not to say that that card isn't a huge pull. Obviously, it is. But yeah, I'm calling a little fiction on that one.
I was going to say, wasn't the Gunner 1/1 the logo rookie auto pulled at Mojo? If I'm not mistaken, I thought it was pulled.
Though.
Yeah, it was out of Transcendent. Yeah. Okay, my mistake. It was pulled out of Transcendent. Well, regardless, I kind of agree with C-Rad's sentiment that
it's a little disrespectful.
It's a baseball product first. I'm not, but yet there is a little part of me of like, but there's never been anything like this out of this product.
You're,
and like the uniqueness
correct.
And all the goofiness of it. Like
it's a big card. Don't get me wrong.
It's huge. It's huge.
Card, yeah.
I think we could say this pretty safely. I think that's, is that right now a top five Wemby card? Pretty easily. Is that a top five Wemby?
I will say yes, but I get why people don't like the card.
Yeah.
Because the funny drawings on it.
Yeah, I get
well, that's
it
what I was gonna say.
But blame Wemby for that. That's him.
Are you gonna buy a $500,000 Lambo and put like a Blink-182 sticker on the back of it?
I mean,
no, you're not. And I don't know. You know, we always say people at these companies deserve raises. Whoever had this idea deserves to get fired because you just defaced a high end card. Like it would have been okay with an inscription, I think. But to have him draw an alien, which it could have been a worse drawing. It could have been. I mean, he's not that bad at drawing. Drawing a mustache, drawing a little, I don't know what he drew on his.
So that one on his face is really the only one I have. I have an issue with. All the other drawings I'm okay with. Even the mustache I would have been okay with. But that like teardrop or whatever he got on the side of his face.
Sweat? Say, it looks like a teardrop. Yeah, it might be sweat.
Sweat. Sweaty, a little sweaty, some alien sweat, I guess.
I mean, this is like, I think there's a, I guess for some folks, there's a fine line between like showing off your personality and then making it almost like now it's just a joke. Like, I think Josh Young on one of his 1/1 in like Heritage put like on his real one auto 1/1 put a little mustache and then said, love the hobby or something like that. Like, I think that's like the perfect amount of have some fun with it. Also in a product where you're like, it's Heritage. Like, it's fine. Like, it's not the most expensive box versus, people are spending a lot of money on Dynasty and they might be
and
like,
this is
I want
what,
that
product. And this is what you guys created. You wanted more inscriptions, you know, like I'm tired of looking at the same old autos. And this is what you get. That's the result. You can't have it both ways. But it almost like reminds me, and I know I'm really harping on this, but maybe I'm too of a purist for high-end cards. It almost reminds me if you're driving like down Beverly Hills or somewhere nice and it's just beautiful and there's just graffiti on one of the walls. That's what it reminds me of. It just defaced the beautifulness of that area, of that card. Like maybe he could have put like my first Dynasty or my first Yankee card or something on there, but we put drawings on there.
Yeah. Or just the one UFO or one alien.
Right.
Because I will say this, because we pulled there's not a lot of Wembys, first of all, in Dynasty, and we were lucky enough to pull also the number to 10, and I'll say that card is gorgeous.
Yep.
Like, You could see it in the picture, but in person, it's a gorgeous card. His auto, clean auto, nice Yankees patch, right? No inscription on that one, of course. But yeah, when you compare the two, it's like, damn, it's almost like, damn, which one do you prefer? Like, I know I get it. The 101 is worth way more because it's a 101. But in terms of the way the card actually look, aesthetics, like, I think the number 10 is probably a better looking card.
Yeah.
And I know he's playing good, and he's lighting up the NBA, and his cards are selling well, and that's great. But what's their record?
I mean, well, to their credit, they've actually been playing much more competitively since post All-Star break.
Yeah,
like they are going to they're going to turn this around.
I almost feel like they're going for. They're trying to go for another
18 and 58.
They're not good. Yeah.
18 and 58.
They're not good.
So how many years of Wemby at 18 and 58 at this point of the season is he? Is not going to work out.
I mean, it's year one. Where was it on ESPN? They're like, how long will Wemby be? I'm like, guys, it's year one. He's a rookie. We knew this wasn't going to be a good team. Like, yeah. It's okay.
Are you guys going to still be like apologists like you guys are with Luka? Are you guys going to still be with Wemby?
But Luka's been into the second round twice early in his career, ooh, too, right?
That's true. He's been to a Western Conference.
And they're the fifth seed. They're playing a little bit better.
Mavericks. Luka has been a pretty good player. What I will say about the Wemby situation is that if you look at his advanced statistics when he's actually on the floor, because he doesn't play, I think he only plays like 25 minutes or so, mm-hmm. 30 minutes. When he's on the floor with them, they're like the plus
leaps and bounds.
The plus minus is like crazy positive.
Yeah.
And then he sits down and they're like, oh God.
He is also a transformational guy where there are absolutely free agents to be looking at the Spurs, playing against them and going, oh, that looks fun. Bro, I want to be part of that. Like, he is that type of guy where he can totally change. He's gonna change everything about that. Make that a destination spot.
I don't know. Obviously, I don't know anything about the future, but I would love to see a Luka Wemby combo team. That's chips right there.
You don't have to go. Hey, if Luka's like, I'm not digging it here in Dallas, I don't have to go that far.
And then you and Dan will have to convert to Luka lovers.
I just want to point out these
Luka, Kevin Love, same player.
Wow. let's just point out these stats because I think there's a case to be made that like this is like
they're saying he should win Defensive Player of the Year, dude, as a rookie.
Yeah. It's wild what he's done. He's averaging 21.2 as a rookie. Next closest rookie is Brandon Miller at 17. He's got 10.5 rebounds a game. Next closest rookie is Chet with 7.9.
Not even close.
He's got 3.7 assists per game on top of it all. He's got 3.5 blocks per game.
3.5 blocks is the one that stands out the most. It's like teams are finding out this entire season. It's like, damn, I cannot go in the paint against.
You just can't do it.
Like you don't. You. These guys are hesitating every time they get in the paint.
Yep.
They're like, what should I do? I know I can't go up. Let me just pass it out. You know what I mean? Like that.
He's so ridiculously tall and athletic. I mean, you know, I obviously I'm playing devil's advocate on some of this stuff.
Of course, yeah.
He is living up to the hype so far. And one thing I have noticed by going to Target and Walmart is like the retail revival has came back, and I think a lot of that is based on Wemby. You know, the fact that you can go get your Monopoly blaster prisms, you can go get your prism blasters or whatever product he may be in, and those are now gone from the shelves again, as you know, almost the pandy when people were lining up and fighting each other over stuff.
Yep.
And I'm looking back at some of the recent drafts. I'm trying to make a case here. Zion is having a nice year. Pelicans are having a nice year. But in terms of number one picks in the last few years, you could argue. I know Anthony Edwards, Paolo. It's actually been a good run. Actually, the last couple of years,
been a good run.
So
the number one picks have been playing well.
Yeah, they have. But
Zion's having a big year, and he's getting off on the right foot.
And yet, despite that, can you still say maybe Wemby is the one who like? Is absolutely meeting every bit of the hype, and those other guys didn't have nearly the hype behind them, and yet Wemby is meeting every bit of that hype, and in
Zion
a way
was
is sort of
pretty hype though. I mean,
he was very hyped up there. Yeah. He was very very hyped, but I do think Wemby was on a different it was on a different level entirely.
I can't disagree with that one.
Yeah, it's pretty wild that the hype that's been around him, and not only is he met it, I think he's exceeding in a lot of ways, and like you said, it's making. It's things that don't happen in this card market for like base cards of his or whatever it may be, like the prices are maintaining and in some cases going up. It's pretty wild.
And that's what kind of segues into the, you know, your favorite product is I am definitely interested with Revolution coming out on Friday. It's a little bit of a cheaper price point for a hobby box. It's not about the autograph. And it's, you know, the Galactic Chase is usually one per master.
16 box case.
Yeah, one per master case. I mean, let's early predict. What do you think a Galactic Wemby goes for?
Ooh.
Ah. Okay. I mean, obviously the market has come down on Galactics, even though I still push it like crazy. Like, I'm telling people, like, all the time, I'm like, you guys, this Galactic parallel is still one of the most rarest parallels you can go after for basketball if you collect any particular player. So I'm going to say Wemby Galactics out the gate. It's going to be at least 4 to 5K.
Wow. So almost up there with, like, a Downtown or a Kaboom. I mean,
yes.
Basically. Which maybe may do you think that a Galactic will be and Kaboom will be one and the same as far as pricing?
I would say so. Yes.
Trying to find out what Luka
Kaboom might go for a little bit more just because it has that like, you know, collector prestige to it. Like mainstream people love the Kaboom, but like the hardcore collectors know the Galactic is way more rare.
And it looks like a Luka as of March 18th, a 9.5, the old Beckett slab Dan loves, 3,600.
So for Luka Galactic?
Luka Galactic rookie.
What about a Luka Kaboom rookie? Let's compare.
Luka Kaboom, and that would have been out of, would it still been out of Absolute back then?
It was still crowned in 18-19.
13,600.
Oh, man.
So massive difference.
Massive difference.
Yeah.
So if we're taking those numbers and we're saying that the 4 to 5K on a Galactic, that means that the Kaboom's going to be like 20, 30K maybe.
That's why I'm telling, like, most people in the know, Crown Royale is going to be a crazy one because you not only have the Victor Wembanyama Kaboom, you have the first Tim Duncan autographs.
Oh, is it going to be in Crown Royale finally?
Yes.
Man, Spurs spot going to be going crazy.
Jeez, that's going to be nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, and, you know, also don't take away the fact that Revolution has all those numbered cards, too. Yep. The Cosmos, the Cubics.
All the pretty-looking yep, you're right. All the beautiful parallels that come out of Revolution, man. I'm a big fan.
And they do have a one-on-one, right?
They have a – they've never done a one-on-one. They do have a Lava number to 10.
That's right.
They've never done a one-on-one base ever. But I wouldn't, you know, I haven't looked at, I don't know if a checklist is out yet necessarily. I think it is. And I don't think they have a 1-on-1 again this year. They may eventually do that.
The biggest change
they do have 1-on-1 autos, though.
The biggest change I saw is there is some, that doesn't say what it is exactly, just says SSP rookie variations. That's all we know. That there's a new super short print rookie variation of some kind.
Got it. They got to.
They have to.
They got to. Yeah. They all got autos of the kids, so.
They got to do.
Yes, I mean, use that code that we mentioned at the beginning of the show, MyMojo, and you can get into some Revolution, which is already posted on the website.
Yep, we got a lot of cases for you guys posted up already.
Yeah, so that's going to be a banger. Chase those cards. I mean, and the good thing about Revolution, too, is that the rookie base isn't really a hard chase. I mean, they may not be that valuable, but they do come out. So, yeah. And it's, you know, you're getting one box of Revolution for the price of, like, six boxes of
Prism.
So, yeah. Hobby, that is.
Yeah.
I also like Fast Break. I think we were just talking about that off-air, that Fast Break Prism at, like, the $500, $600 price
good
point.
Good range, yeah.
A lot of colors because they're specific to just Fast Break with the discos. So, you know, get your Wembys and get those things graded. Get them ready. So, we've got Sterling, which is a nice high-end baseball product on the heels of Transcendence. And Immaculate Football, which it's so crazy how these seasons go in the hobby. I feel like now football is the third sport, you know, because
it is the third sport currently. Yeah.
Right now. Yeah, it definitely is right now. But and consider, yeah, all the Wemby stuff and baseball's got a great rookie class. And we're all collecting baseball at the moment.
That's
yeah.
not to say that, you know, some of these football products recently have been better than others. But, you know, it's still a pretty good market right now. But, yeah, it is third. I would say it's third right now currently.
Yeah.
Might even be fourth with the Bedard.
I was about to say craze. Bedard.
Yeah, with Bedard.
Yeah. So. I think it's an all Bedard set coming out here pretty
something like
pretty
that.
Quickly, pretty yeah. in the next week or so. So, yeah, you're right. It's kind of like maybe tied for third.
Crazy. So Flawless came out last week. We ripped a ton of it. A lot of stuff going down. We still have cases breaking on mojobreak.com, so check that out. arguably the biggest triple logo man was already pulled, so I wanted to discuss that. Giannis, LeBron, and KD. KD on the Suns on this card. Which I don't like about it is that they're, I mean, they did center the LeBron with the 75, but they're not the same logo mans aesthetically. You know, I'd like them to be the same ones, but Mr. Whiteback or whoever's running Mr. Whiteback's account now, I don't know, it's F. Jerry or whatever, is saying that he's predicting the card to be 250K. Is that a good assessment, or do we think it's lower?
Okay, so my opinion, keep in mind my opinion, based on the one that we pulled and that sold in auction for like 300 plus of buyer's premium, I think that's high for that one.
I think so too.
Because I think it should be not worth a significantly less than the one we pulled, but it's definitely, I don't put it on even like, I don't put it at the same level when you're comparing it to the Steph, Luka, and LeBron, all three 75th anniversary logo mans. So I say maybe 150 to 200 range is I like that. 250 though, that's approaching the triple logo man that we pulled.
Yeah, 200 felt like the right number on the high end there for that one. And yeah, you're right. The thing is, like, you know, if anyone wants to think like we're, you know, like, oh, it's the one we pulled is still a little more. No, it's like you said it, like having three of those 75th anniversary logo mans,
it makes a big difference.
Makes it totally different. And frankly, the group of players, like the hobby loves Luka. Steph, the best, you know, Steph and LeBron, the two defining players of this era of basketball too. So yeah, it kind of puts in a different stratosphere.
What Panini needs to be doing is going out, talking to Vanessa Bryant and being like, let's, you know, what do we got?
How do we figure out the code for the last year of flawless potentially?
Yeah, and then there could be so many opportunities of different triple logo mans that would be the ones.
Oh man.
Or better yet, maybe Panini doesn't get it. What if Fanatics talks to Vanessa Bryant, and then 2 years from now, maybe we have a Jordan, LeBron, Kobe?
Yeah, that would be amazing. You know what? Now that you mention it, I know we're getting ahead of ourselves because the new Flawless just came out. But like I was saying, potentially the last year of Flawless is next year with the license anyways. You know, they're probably going to still produce it. But with the license, potentially is the last year. If they can pull that off, that's going to be amazing, right? If they can pull that off for the last year of Flawless. But next year's Flawless is already shaping up to be, like, literally insane. Because you're going to get the Chet Holmgrens that weren't in this year's because they're going to be able to acquire those jerseys from that he played this year as an actual rookie. And then you're going to have the Wembanyama logo mans. And then you're going to have the Tim Duncan logo mans with the autos. You see, like, next year's Flawless is already shaping up to be literally insane.
Yeah,
that's a good point. If they do a dual logo man with Chet and Wembanyama, does that exceed 250K?
You know what it largely depends on? I don't think Wemby's hype is going to die down, but it largely depends on where Chet is at. Now, the Thunder team, they're not going anywhere. They're going to be good for a very long time, but will Chet Holmgren be the number one or two guy there?
Yeah,
is the question, because Jalen Williams is so good. Shea Gilgeous has obviously been the number one guy there, and he's a, you know, he's not a big, he's a guard. So I think it's going to be largely dependent. I think it's still going to be worth. Look at years later, look how much Scotty Barnes is still going for.
Yeah.
And he's the guy from 2021, right? Yeah. So
redemptions weren't in stock anymore.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
What else? Would it be better to have a Duncan Wembanyama logo man just dual, or would you throw a third Spurs player
on? Oh, you got to put David Robinson on there.
Do you, though?
I think absolutely.
I
think as a Spurs, but I do like, I like the Timmy and Wemby. Probably one more.
I bet you they do one of Tim Duncan and Wemby, but I almost guarantee.
That's a lot of game used Tim Duncan jerseys.
I guarantee they're going to throw a David Robinson, Tim Duncan. Just the lineage of the number one picks, all the Spurs big men.
Ideally, they need to pull off both.
Yeah.
Because you drive that.
You got to do that.
Say you have a chance of getting a Wemby by himself.
Yep.
And then you have a chance of getting a Tim Duncan and Wemby. And then you have a chance of getting the David Robinson, Wemby, and Tim Duncan. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're just strengthening the product.
Yeah, I think that's a slam dunk for me, that triple.
And I know we've noted some of the biggest hits we've pulled. We had the Giannis championship tag, number to two, which that's a big card. Chet, a lot of Chets.
A lot of Chets. A lot of Paolos. Two vertical RPAs we pulled.
Which ones?
A Palo Bancaro.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, two verticals. They're like the rookie patch auto. I pulled two of them, like back-to-back days.
Oh, RPAs. Yeah. And then I know we pulled a Halliburton Logo Man.
That was probably the biggest Logo Man that we got so far, but we still got a couple cases left to get some Logo Mans for you guys.
Yep, and there's still a bunch of triples. I think there's only been a couple pulled. So yep.
Yeah, has not been that many pulled so far.
But in terms of the big names, yeah, like loaded product this year, flawless. Like probably the most loaded I've seen flawless ever.
Yeah.
Then we get into Caitlin Clark, man. I mean, I was watching that game on Monday against LSU, and she was out there running a clinic. But, you know, it's been a crazy run, and I haven't watched so much women's basketball tournament. I don't watch even most of the guys' tournament, to be honest with you. But, like, yeah, I've actually tuned in to this because it's must-see TV with her. The interesting thing is, and we've got pricing and stuff like that, I heard that Ice Cube offered her $5 million for the big three.
Mm-hmm.
And then does Lil Durk own a team in the big three?
Probably.
He offered her $10
million
to play for his team in the big three. So what I did, I went down a rabbit hole, and I'm like, let's play guess that price or guess that salary.
Okay.
There's a woman on the Vegas Aces, and I forget her name, but they won a championship last year.
Mm-hmm.
She is the highest
Probably paid, Asia Wilson.
Asia Wilson.
Sure.
She's the highest paid WNBA player currently. What do you think she makes a year?
Oh, probably under $1 million.
I would say 1.5.
Maybe a million, maybe just straight under.
They're 2-year deals, most of them that I've seen. $250,000.
Yeah.
A year.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Why the hell Angel Reese want to go to WNBA? She makes $2 million right now.
Well, here's the thing. If they're going to make so much money in sponsorship deals, like they are going to. And also. This is going to not be – that is not going to be the number in a few years is what I'm
– Right, obviously it needs to go
It's going to change.
And we've got a lot of stars coming out with even Juju and on deck as well.
Paige Beckers, and, you have Cameron Brink from Haley Stanford.
Van Lilla,
yeah, there's a lot of talent. There's a lot of household names that –
Or Van Lith.
Right. Sorry. There's a lot of household names – it's going to be a flood of talent here.
I mean, because that would be crazy. I mean, I'm assuming if she took a big three deal, that would be she might still play both. Because I'm like, yeah, the money's like obviously $10 million. That's crazy. She still keeps her NIL and she could play basketball for the big three, but you don't really get that like trophy, right? You can't really. I mean, there's a trophy for the big three, but like. You know what I mean? Like
it doesn't have the same prestige.
And you know what? I'm gonna say something about the big three. Has anyone in here watched a big three game in the last few years?
The last few years, okay.
Because I think we all had that like curiosity the first couple of years.
Yeah.
But then like I don't know if anyone's noticed the rosters because that first year it was like, oh wow, you've got like. There was like names that we all grew up with.
Part of that is also like Ice Cube has come out and said like he's getting blocked from being able to maneuver how he wants to maneuver with that.
Sure,
league, you know what I'm saying?
Which there is a little part of me that's the NBA is like, do you really think they're worried about you that much, man? That you've got like 50, 60-year-olds running up and down the court, and the NBA's shaking in their boots about.
I don't think they're shaking their boots, but maybe the NBA just doesn't want no competition.
Yeah, I guess I guess
even
so.
If it's small.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so.
Because obviously the big three is never going to compete with the NBA.
So if
but
I'm,
as a side league, it could be fun.
Look, I get the money. The money talks. I get that. But if I'm Caitlin Clark, I'm also like, really? You want me to play against like, I can't.
Sean Kemp or
right. You want me to play against like 55-year-old Penny Hardaway and would I get like, no, I'm sorry. Like, I'll pass. I'll go get ready for the summer. And I'm going to sign.
Also, is that yeah, I mean, obviously Ice Cube's got to do what he's got to do. And if I was the owner of the big three, I'd be doing the same thing.
And also, I'm going to go sign my $100 million lifetime deal.
Is that good enough to play against old men as opposed to like.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Almost is. I get what they're doing. And I don't think there is this like backhanded compliment part of it too, but. If I'm her, I'm just like, nah, there's so many other opportunities. I don't think that does anything for the women's game. It doesn't do anything for her. It does everything for the big three.
I mean, Panini signed, obviously, Caitlin Clark to an exclusive deal, hoping that she does go to the WNBA because that would be a killer. Right. if she's like, yeah, I'm going to the big three only, exclusively.
But you're being,
you know, and then you can't even put her in WNBA products.
I mean, well, I guess or then Panini would have to make a big three.
One chase, right?
It would be absolutely wild.
He would love that. He's like, hey, we got a trading card deal.
I think that's what you got to realize. She doesn't need it. The big three does. They absolutely need her to be there, which is why,
like
they're
I said,
making
if it was
offers.
Me, I'd be doing the same thing.
100%. Sure. Yeah.
Like what kind of press that would get. So I mean, it's crazy, and I'm happy as a father with two daughters to see, you know, and I'm sure in the same boat as seeing like this progress and seeing more eyeballs on this. And honestly, like I've said, and I think it was like two or three shows ago, like the women seem a little bit more cerebral on the court, man. They seem to kind of the flow of the game, like they understand it a little bit better, like the intuition's a little bit better.
Well,
it's not as much raw athleticism.
Yeah. I think you heard, like, I feel like Draymond did a great job a few years ago. Draymond Green talked about like why he prefers watching women's basketball a lot of times. He's like, because it's fundamentals. It's all like, it's exactly what you learn when you're playing basketball.
Yeah.
So it's
because the NBA is a different brand of basketball.
Sure.
It's not like, it's not pure basketball in a sense. Because they get away with a lot of things that the refs don't call, obviously, for obvious reasons, for entertainment purposes, right? And so the game's a little bit more embellished in the NBA. It is part entertainment, you know, like they have to entertain people. So things like, you know, the maybe the offensive defensive schemes are not, it's not to say like, you know, they're not high. There's guys that are super high level and those guys are super successful in the NBA because they're outplaying everybody. Like guys like LeBron, guys like Steph, right? But like, yeah, you're right. As a team sport, it may be like, you know, women's basketball, maybe at the college level, you know what I mean? At those levels, European, like international basketball, it's like more of a pure.
Well, I was going to say they didn't have that, you know, the height difference, right? You don't have those like Wembys. But interesting enough, this person played in the 2000s, played for the San Antonio Silver Stars. Margot Dydek was 7'2".
Yeah.
You know, so it's like kind of funny that it's San Antonio, and I was going to mention that.
San Antonio, just what the hell, man? It's like a magnet for like 7 foot people. Like you go there, I bet you go to San Antonio, and it's just like everybody is just like it's just what it is. Everyone's tall.
And Caitlin Clark's fairly tall, right?
Yeah. And we were talking about like the fundamentals and all that, but I think what makes this present moment for women's basketball so exciting is having someone like Caitlin Clark, where you're like, whoa, like bringing the flair, bringing the excitement, Angel Reese, bringing the personality and all that, like bringing that, like injecting that into this, to this. And man, it's going to be really exciting in WNBA. Yeah. They both committed. I think Angel Reese announced today that she officially is going WNBA. I've seen some people liken this to like, this is our generation's moment of like a Magic versus Bird sort of rivalry here with Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, where it's going to lift the game and take it to heights that we've never seen before. So
you would hope so, because like I'll say one thing: Sabrina Ionescu was supposed to be the same, like have the same, like she came in with the same type of hype, and then like not to say like she's not having a pretty good career so far. She's, you know, she's playing well, obviously, for the WNBA.
Almost beat Steph. I mean,
but WNBA is still in like this kind of like the same situation that they've been.
It's going up for sure, but yeah, you're right, and I think it also like she's now
she was as hype as
she was.
Clark was.
She was
or is.
But and she's like probably the second or probably the third, maybe even third best player on her current team right now. Now her team is also really good. But yeah, you're right. And so it's going to have to be, you know, and for Caitlin Clark, it's also a perfect fit. I think Indiana's got the number one pick. So she's going to stay in the Midwest. She's going to stay around there.
Where does Steph's team fall in the draft?
Which one?
The new.
Oh, not till next year.
Oh, the expansion. Okay.
Do they automatically get the first pick?
I think.
So they're like, Caitlin Clark, stay another year.
Well, that or I don't know.
That'd be a great. That'd be great for us, dude.
Yeah. I don't know when
Juju go to the games in San Francisco.
I think for WNBA that you have to stay at least 4 years, right? I think you have to stay at least 4 years in college. So they're gonna miss Juju Watkins by a couple of years, but it's like, damn. That would have been, you know, well, who knows? Maybe they'll be bad for a couple of years and they get the number one pick.
So, yeah, I think I think the deal with Panini is active in May or maybe.
It just started on April 1st.
Okay, so April, yeah.
It is
one month.
So that's how Topps was able to get that set out.
Right, which I looked at it and I was like, $850.
Yeah, it's not as enticing.
But I came back the next day, it was still available, and I bought it because I was like, you know, I'm going to keep it sealed and, you know. Just cause, but this leads me into like some of my next questions for you guys, because And great notes here is Clark's first Bowman Superfractor auto sold for more than any other woman's sports cards. Would you advise collectors, because we know the WNBA rookie card is going to be on the horizon at some point, would you sell all of this college stuff? Because traditionally, the pro sport one is going to be the one you want, right?
I mean, if we're talking traditionally, yes, of course, 100%. But we're also talking about a very niche market still currently with WNBA cards. And then I kind of think, like, you know, there's a reason why college football is so crazy, and like those fans will show up for like the in terms of buying their teams, their college's cards, right? Football cards and stuff. So I kind of feel like she has such a big hype around her, and if she can pull this off, this championship with Iowa, then maybe like those hardcore Iowa collectors will still value her cards long term.
What she did in that last game is enough to put a stamp on some of these cards, because they obviously are Iowa cards. You know, they have, you know, interestingly enough, she's Clark 22 as well, which is Will Clark from the Giants. I don't think there's any connection there, but maybe she was a fan. That's why she went with number 22.
So you're telling me she's going to be on the Golden State WNBA team. Let's go.
Yep. But, you know, like Superfractor, 78K. So the 101 Superfractor first Bowman sold. Was that this year?
Yes. All these are this year.
January, 78K. Is that something that goes up? I mean, because you also got to keep in mind, it's probably not going to be another Superfractor. That could be a gold vinyl.
Ooh, man, this is such a tough market to say because we don't have too much. We don't have a lot of data on this type of stuff.
No, we don't.
We don't have a lot of data. We don't have a lot of history with women's basketball cards. So, man, I don't know. She almost has to also be breaking all kind of records in the WNBA and like willing her team to these championships, right? Yeah, I don't know.
I think we're really in uncharted territory right now, because I think traditionally you're right. Like the women's college stuff, I think, would sell better than the pro stuff, because women's even before this sort of boom, I think women's college basketball was always a little more popular than WNBA. But with this rookie class coming in, where you have not only Caitlin Clark, you have Angel Reese, we have some of the people we mentioned, Paige Beckers, Cameron Brink. These are like, those are four legit names that I think even more casual basketball fans are like, I know who those people are. I know that's big. And all four have rookies in, say, Prism WNBA and in WNBA products. Then this has a chance to be the season where everything changes in regards to collecting.
Speaking of college basketball, I think I read that this is the first time that both a woman and a men's team are in the Final Four from the same college.
Two of them. You have UConn and NC State.
That's right. Yes, first time two of
which,
them.
Which, man, shout out to my
insane. Shout what are they doing over there at NC State, bro?
Weren't they like the 13th seed or something like that?
Yeah, they're the 11th seed. Shout out to
what's happening at NC State, dude.
What's his name? DJ Burns? Is that the dude? The big man. The big man
from NC State.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, right? Ah, man, shout out to him, because I love. This is why college sports is so fun, because like, DJ Burns is not going to have an NBA career. Let's just, I mean, I say that with all love, because that man is, he's built like a tank. Like he is built like, but it's also like, you know, as like a kid growing up, like you play like pickup basketball and then here comes a dude, like a little heavier set chubby guy coming out. And you're like, oh man, if this guy's built like that and he's like, I'm here to ball, that guy can ball. Yeah. That guy, like, you don't want to get in between that guy and the paint. So
now,
shout out
to
DJ Burns.
UConn on Saturday?
I believe they're playing
UConn. I have mine on UConn.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
UConn is
like a freight train right now running through the men's tournament.
I think they're favored like by 11 or something crazy like that.
Wow. They went, what, on a 30-0 run in the Elite Eight game? Absolutely insane.
Yeah, I don't know how you let a team go on a 30-0 run, but
that's insane. Absolutely insane. But yeah, shout out DJ Burns. I want to invest in DJ Burns cards. I want a DJ Burns.
Yeah, so then another Bowman's Best University, Caitlin Clark out of 2022, sold for $10,500. And a dual Superfractor Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark dual auto, sold for $6,500. I will say this. If I was on the fence about waiting for the WNBA and cashing out on these cards now, I'd probably keep the lower numbered stuff and maybe the more like base stuff, maybe cash it in now. But I could be wrong, but that's just my perspective on it is – The low numbered stuff will probably hold its weight and stay valuable. But the maybe like the 2023 Bowman stuff, like that she's in, may not be one that you want to kind of hold on to.
Yeah, absolutely.
As a second year college.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's, I think there's going to be more interest than ever before in pro women's basketball. There's going to be more money flowing in with extra expansion teams. I mean, obviously, the biggest one, the big news around here, that the Bay Area is getting one.
Can't wait. Yeah,
that's
awesome.
Going to be a big, big deal. So, and I think there's only going
to
be...
I'll go to opening night for sure.
I would love to go.
And there was a big opening night for women's soccer here at the Avaya Stadium with the Bay FC club.
It's, things are changing.
Who's invested? Is Steph invested in that, too? Somebody's invested
in that. I don't know. I know that the Patrick and Brittany Mahomes are the main, like, one of the main investors for the Kansas City team that just expanded. So, it's some of the biggest names in men's pro sports are getting behind this. So, it's happening. This is a big, it's I think, a big, big shift is happening right now where you're seeing it.
Would there ever be a woman playing in the NBA? Is that possible? We ever see that crossover, or are we just going to keep it separate? Could Caitlin Clark compete in the NBA?
I with that shot?
I know.
At that distance? Sure. Why not?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know. It's tough to say, but I know that, hell, I know. I think there's a good amount of players who would have a hard time defending her.
You know, it would be cool. You know, they did the Ionescu Steph 3-point champ.
There is a rumor right now that Clay and Steph versus Clark and Ionescu is happening next year at Chase Center at the All-Star game.
Wow.
That's going to be happening next year.
It would be actually kind of cool to do a 2-on-2, but one guy, one girl.
Yeah, I like that too.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, do like a co-ed.
Or maybe have like a little mini tournament of like paired up with some of the stars and, you know, bring that out. And, you know, then you got, you know, and do it for All-Star. Bring some attention to the All-Star game. Have something different than somebody doing another slam dunk that we've seen 10 times already.
God. Yeah, the slam dunk contest.
Let's not talk about the All-Star NBA weekend. It's just not
same. It is at Chase next year.
It's at Chase next year. And honestly, a pivotal moment for the All-Star game because, God, that last one
ridiculous. Let's go to that for sure. I don't know what night, but like we'll for sure go. Maybe like Saturday night.
Saturday is the better time to go.
I think I would rather watch Saturday night than Sunday night,
especially,
if we're being honest.
Especially
I know you see all the stars on
but
Sunday.
There's so much different things during the Saturday.
Yeah,
event, right?
Dude,
isn't that an all-day thing too?
Saturday would be dull.
Yeah, Saturday you go early, and I think they do like a shoot-around practice where all the players get to practice a little bit, and then they go and they get in their street clothes, and then all the participating players do their thing.
I know we're biased, and you said Clay and Steph, but like if we're just being honest with ourselves, Clay's not the same guy, not even the same shooter that he was before.
I
would almost rather see Steph and like somebody like maybe like Dame.
I was gonna say Dame
versus
if it's
like
gonna be Bay Area.
Ionescu and Clark, right?
Yeah,
I know we want.
Kuminga.
Yeah, I know we say Clay because we love him, but like if we're being honest, like he shouldn't be in that contest. He might get washed by both of those girls.
Yeah, bro, I was gonna say yeah,
but he just did beat Kyle Korver. So on the
there
all-time
you go,
list.
Yeah, the all-time list. Yeah, if that's like Steph Dame. Then we're like, that's a juicy matchup right there. That would be exciting.
Or bring out like Baron Davis or something just to like old Warriors.
Oh, yeah. That'd be awesome. Like, you know, it's going to be Warriors themed because it's going to be in Chase.
Yeah.
So all the OG Warriors are going to be there. I wouldn't be surprised. We see Beedrins out there, you know, Mikal Petrin, you know what I'm saying?
Festus.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Dude, it's going to be a Warriors Asabuki. Pretty much
Beans
like.
Getting out there.
Yeah. We need to see who's the dude with the big head from Serbia? Freaking.
Oh, jeez.
The guy at the center. He was classic from a couple of those championship runs. Maybe he's not from Serbia.
No, I know who you're talking about. Game 7, that guy, but he didn't say that on the Warriors. Man, I'm really mad.
God, what's his
I can't,
name?
I know. I literally see in my head. He still works for the team. You're right.
He has like a
backup
one of the few
center.
Guys have a bigger head than me.
Man, I'm really.
He was a backup center.
I keep wanting to say Hedo Turkoglu, but that's not who it is.
No.
It's not who it is. But
and obviously, you guys are not talking about Bogut. Bogut's from Australia.
No, we're not talking Bogut. Not talking Bogut. We got to figure this out. This is driving
me nuts. What the heck's his name?
Yeah, just look up like 2017 Warriors. He should show up on the roster.
He was a backup.
Zaza Pachulia.
Yes.
Oh, Pachulia. Okay.
Yeah, he was the guy. I think he was on the Hawks, and he was like, Game 7. Yeah. Yeah. Good stuff. Zaza. Yeah.
He was
Zaza, Beadrinth, Troy Murphy, Adonel Foyle. All the stars are out for All-Star Weekend.
I mean, our GM is part of that team. He could just come out and be like, let's do it.
Yeah.
5v5 versus the new Warriors versus the old Warriors.
Oh, great. Yeah.
It's weird seeing Bob Myers on the ESPN like broadcast, too. It's
it is weird.
Will the Warriors bring out Gilbert Arenas for the All-Star?
Yeah, hell yeah. Why not?
You got to.
Agent Zero. Before he was Agent Zero.
And you know the two-run TMC will be there.
Yeah. Yep.
We got to have Gilbert there.
Barry will probably be out there.
Jay Rich, for surely. Jay Rich. You know what?
He'll be part of the
Bring Jay Rich out of retirement for the Slam Dunk Contest.
Yeah.
Apparently, that's the only way to revive that thing.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
All right, guys. It's that time of year. 2024 Bowman is on the horizon, and we've got early pre-sale information from Tops and a checklist that has been out a month now in advance, which is great. So we can all see, you know, what prospect, what rookie card we want to chase. You know, collectors are kind of being a little bit on the WB side, complaining about the pricing. $250 for, I think, maybe $260 for a hobby box with one auto and $499 on a jumbo box. So, I mean, what do you think? Is that kind of in line, Cody, with what you were thinking on pricing?
Yeah, that feels about right, especially considering, you know, it's we're going to go over some of the names here, but you do have a guy in Dylan Cruz who, if he was in Bowman draft, would have likely been the biggest chase in the entire product, even with Wyatt Langford in there, even with all those big names we were chasing. So there's that. You also have the inclusion of Yamamoto, the inclusion of Jung-Hoo Lee, the first chance to get their autographs. I know Yamamoto's going to have a couple other things where he's signing, but you have the rookie slash first Bowman attraction there. So there's a lot here. And also, maybe if people are complaining about price, it could be maybe the price of getting Pete Rose into Bowman. I don't know.
That's something to discuss.
I mean, I'm only kidding, but you know.
Could be.
Who knows? I don't know.
Which is a nice surprise. Gives me hope that Barry Bonds might be in next year or maybe in draft.
I'm like, it's crazy. If you had told me Pete Rose is going to be back in Topps products before Barry Bonds, I would have thought you were crazy because Bonds isn't banned from the game. Like,
well, I mean, I had heard rumors about a year ago that Bonds was going to be back in products, but I have yet to see it. And that person is no longer with Topps now anymore. But they had said, hey, we're getting Barry Bonds back. You know, little birdie said, and I was like, great. You know, I was hoping to see him, but maybe Bonds backed out of the deal or they're waiting to use him at the right moment. But I understand, like, you know, hey, it ain't for the kids. Back to the pricing here. And people are complaining, oh, you've priced me out of the hobby. And I think it's like, this is only for breakers, you know, and then breakers are going to make money on this price. And I can't even afford my teams anymore. I mean, it's all relative. Let's just, you know, be devil's advocate. I know people are going to say, well, you guys sell the product, so we have a completely different set point of view on it. It's all relative. If it was a $100 box, then the autos are not going to be worth as much when you pull them because it's now considered a lower end product. So there's a time and a place for lower end products. Bowman has kind of approached the mid tier to high end level. I mean, and you could see on these crazy pricing, you could see the Trout Superfractor sell for god awful amounts. You could see Dominguez's Superfractor sell for god awful amounts. This is the first Bowman. This is the first Bowman autograph of 87 guys. And if any of these guys become Shohei Ohtani or Mike Trout or Bryce Harper, these cards will be the most coveted. So, you know, these I honestly, I'm not surprised. I mean, a car 10 years ago cost significantly less than cars cost now. Cable cost significantly less than 10 years ago than it costs now. Heck, Big Macs, freaking McChickens, Taco Bell.
Yeah, there's no such thing as a dollar menu anymore.
No.
There's a value menu, which is the greatest trick they've ever pulled. Come on now.
I was surprised. I went to, I had to go to Best Buy yesterday to get some stuff for the new studio we're working on. And I was like, you know, I'm going to get a McChicken. I was like, you know what? I'm going to get two McChickens. And they were doing a BOGO. I didn't even know. I would have paid full prop, but it was like $5 a McChicken, but I got two of them But remember, McChickens used to be a dollar.
It was a buck.
Yeah,
so. It was a buck for a McChicken. What a world. Kids these days don't know. We don't know how good we had it. So look, and I can say this because our resident In-N-Out hater Dan isn't here.
I'm resident hater too.
Okay, that's right. I forgot. I feel like Dan is much more vocal about hate. In-N-Out menu hasn't really changed that much. Maybe a couple cents here and there, but it's about the same price to get a double-double with fries and a soda as it was about 10 years ago. So shout out to them.
Yeah. It's the world we live in, and usually the price falls in line with the product. And honestly, if you don't like the price of the product, don't buy it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You know. It's as simple as that. And you know what? The thing, too, that – and it's I feel like it is the cycle every year of, like, look, if you don't want to get the Hobby Box or the Jumbo or whatever – it's cheaper to just wait for if that's your bag, go find the singles. Go get into breaks. There are other options for you guys to do that. And I think the beauty of Bowman is there's always a guy who you could just get their auto for, you know, single auto for like $25 or something like that. And then a few years from now, hey, a guy I think I actually talked about in a video not that long ago, right before the season, Blaze Alexander for the Diamondbacks. You could get his first Bowman autos for well under $100, sometimes under $50. Yeah. And he's going off for the Diamondbacks right now. He's actually doing really well. So that's what you got to do. You got to find those diamonds in the rough. That's what the fun is for here for Bowman. Obviously, we're going to talk about some of these big guys, but that's the fun of it, is finding these diamonds in the rough. And I think there's a ton here.
And that's, you know, and that's good knowledge to kind of pass on if you're a new collector and you maybe don't dabble that much in baseball. You know, we always get this question when people come in the stream, especially on Bowman Day, who are we chasing? Who are these guys? And one thing to keep in mind is a lot of these guys, it takes 3, possibly 4 years before they're going to get a major league debut. Now, you know, guys like Wyatt Langford, they get fast tracked. That doesn't always happen. But, you know, Mike Trout was in 2009 Bowman draft. He was a rookie in 2012. So that's 3 years of work. And then especially if you're getting a guy that's out of high school, who's 18, he's going to take a lot more seasoning. He's going to go through your rookie ball, your single A, your double A, your triple A, all those things before he possibly gets to the majors. And that is what makes Bowman so special, in my opinion. And shout out to the San Jose Giants is, you know, I, as a Giants fan, and you guys see me wear the hat all the time, is I get to go to these games and, you know, these Bowman guys, a lot of them, you know, stop in San Jose, and you kind of get to see them on a more intimate level. You know what I mean? See them play in single A, they're approachable there and kind of follow their career. And it's not just like a guy in basketball. If you pull a guy in basketball and he's already not playing, you already know he's not worth anything. He's probably never going to be the next Zion, John Moran, whoever, you know, the next big rookie is, or Wemby for that matter. Baseball is a long game, and you got guys that kind of come out of nowhere and become stars. Obviously, the big names that start usually kind of are the names that say big, but like there could be guys like pockets like Aristides Aquino. I know he's not doing well anymore, but had a good run, and people were able to sell some of their cards for large amounts. And Bowman is unlike anything else in the hobby in terms of like the prospect. And collegiate sports, they've tried to do it, you know, with Bowman's Best U and stuff like that. It's just not the same thing.
Yeah, I think, and that's what makes it fun too, from a breaking perspective of like, if you're saying, who am I chasing this year? Well, heck, sometimes it's fun to just pick a team and say, oh, that team's a little cheaper than the other teams. Grab them. You'd never know if you hit the next, you know, that guy that, like we said, there's a few guys that we've mentioned that nobody saw coming.
Right. Exactly.
Does it feel like that's the thing? I need to see a comparison to the prices last year. Like, it doesn't feel like it's that much of a leap, like a massive leap that feels egregious, something to talk about. Just kind of feels like maybe a steady progression, more less about the product, maybe more, like you said, about just kind of the general state of the economy. So I don't know. It's tough to say. And like, but again, there is a guy in here in Dylan Cruz who is one of the biggest prospects in baseball, could be on, not could, almost certainly will be with the Major League Club and the Nationals this year. Walker Jenkins is a really hot prospect out of high school, 10th ranked prospect for the Twins. A couple other guys, Red Sox catcher Kyle Teal, guy who was a highly ranked draft pick, top 15 draft pick last year. He'll be in there. Aiden Miller for the Phillies as well, top 60 prospect. So, and then, yeah, we mentioned Jungle Lee, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, first chance to get those autos, too. So there's plenty.
Yeah,
I mean,
even Shohei's first Dodger Bowman
that's
card.
All the Shohei Dodger stuff is out of everything this year. I feel like that first Dodger stuff, it's going to have that feeling of like the first LeBron Lakers stuff where it's like, well, I just got to get the first version of that thing. It's going to be all year long.
That makes sense.
Well, you know what people didn't catch it on the games? And you know how they did the Ohtani Betts thing?
Yes.
Well, if you look at the lineup, it's Ohtani Betts Freeman.
Oh.
So Ohtani Betts, he's a free man.
He's a free man. That's a good point. This is a good point.
That's good. That's good. I like that.
They just need another name that corresponds with
we're
a gamble or something.
I brought up, okay, I'm going to bring up something crazy as we're doing a little off on the baseball talk, but it's baseball talk. Watching this unstoppable Dodger team the last couple days, at what point and what team, because I think it's going to happen, what point do we get the Barry Bonds treatment for all three of the top guys in the lineup? Do they just go, F it, we're just going to walk the bases loaded because I don't want to deal with these guys. Yeah. We'll take our chances with Max Muncy and Will Smith.
We were watching the game on Monday while we were doing the Fanatics live stream, and I was like, I think the All-Star team is blue and white. I mean, pretty much.
It's like you blink and they're up 1-0. It's just like Betts gets on. The fact that Ohtani hasn't even got hot yet is like it's going to be horrifying when he's finally on. And then it's like, and then Freeman gets a double. It's like, cool, they're up 1-0, and I haven't even gotten into my seat yet. Like, it's an unstoppable, like, machine.
I will say that Ohtani's kind of a choke artist in big moments of the game, though, like when they need him and get a game-winning RBI.
It hasn't happened yet. Freeman is saving him. Teoscar Hernandez has been saving him. So it's only a matter of time, though.
I think it's first team in, like, eight, nine games to get over 5 runs.
Yep.
Every game, something like that. Yeah,
they're
I'm glad we have one more game and then onto the home stand.
Yeah,
so.
Dude, Judge need to get up on that Dodger blue. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, it feels like an inevitability at this point. I just am accepting the fate of like every good player is going to be a Dodger, and they're going to be the best team. If a team can get one of three in a series, to me, that is basically winning a series against the Dodgers. You won one game against them, great. You won the series.
Yeah, wait till we play them again and those those pitchers are in midseason.
Exactly.
Form,
It'll be a little different. It'll be a little different. We'll see.
But back to Bowman. I mean, I broke it down by the prospect auto. So there's a couple things to note. Reds, zero prospect autos, but they have Ellie and Strand and the other guy got suspended.
Noel
right?
Vimarte, yeah. There are a lot of rookies in there.
Rookies.
We know, rookies seem to be harder to hit in Bowman. They don't come out as often. Yeah. So.
Except the Ohtani year.
Yes.
Which he was. Technically, you could look at that as if he was the first Bowman. So they did include him more than probably we would see a normal rookie.
Yeah, and I don't know if they just have him sign less or what. Maybe we'll see some rookies pop out more than normal. But they're just something to kind of keep in mind when you're buying into breaks. As far as my initial pricing, I had the Reds higher than they would because they have no prospects. Usually I price those teams pretty low. But with Ellie and Strand and, you know, those guys. Guardians, zero autos as well. Zero prospect autos. They do have like somebody on the retail list or something like that, but I'm not going off of that. Dodgers, also zero prospect autos.
Yeah. Oh, and we didn't even mention the Reds also, of course, all those rookies you mentioned, and of course the Pete Rose retrofractor
as well. Yeah.
Which that still makes it a very desirable spot.
Yep. Retrofractor?
Yep. Retrofractor auto.
And auto.
Yep.
Sweet.
So what was the last product Pete Rose was in, by the way, real quick?
I don't know.
I know he's been in
Panini and
I saw there was
Leaf
some
a lot.
People were suggesting that there was an accidental insert in like the mid-2000s in a set, but that was it. I think it was like 91 or 92 was the last time they ever had anything related to Pete Rose.
So is this the MLB telling Topps Fanatics like, okay, we're okay with you including him in the set at this point?
The only thing I could think is are the rules a little different for Bowman? That's the only, it's still an officially licensed MLB product, so I don't see how it could be.
Yeah.
But maybe they're saying Bowman's fine. Anything else, no.
Maybe they're
saying.
Can't
be in flagship.
Maybe they're saying, perhaps, we're going to let Ohtani go. And this is part of the.
So it's related to Ohtani.
This is part of letting him go because we're okay. With having Pete in products,
I would agree with you, but I'm sure this decision was made like 6-7 months ago.
Oh yeah,
unless they knew that long ago.
They
about
knew
Ohtani.
It's coming down the pipeline.
Right, right.
But yeah, Dodgers, zero autos, but Yamamoto, yeah. You know, rookies, and which I believe will be, besides Sterling, will be his first rookie auto and probably his most coveted.
Yeah.
And then obviously some Shohei. I didn't see any Shohei autos, but they'll have the parallels and all that stuff for him. Marlins, zero autos, and really no other thing to chase. Nothing so they'll notable. Be very, very cheap. Cardinals, zero autos, but I believe they do have Bob Gibson.
Yep, Bob Gibson. Bob Gibson, retrofractor, no autos, obviously, but yeah, Bob Gibson, retrofractor.
And is this the most amount of no auto teams we've had in Bowman in a while?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going just prospects because that's what people buy Bowman for.
Exactly.
Like the Rays have zero autos too, but they have Junior Caminero right. as a rookie auto.
Yeah.
So I would say like, no team has no autos. They don't have prospect.
They don't
autos.
Have prospect yeah. autos.
And then a team like the Angels leads the pack with six autos prospects, and the Yankees also have six. And the Yankees have Jason Dominguez on the rookie side of things yeah. too. So they're going to be a
big
a
chase,
pretty big chase. Huge. And you got yeah, like Cody mentioned already, you've got some guys in the top 100. Kyle Teal, ranked 39. He's on the Red Sox. Matt Shaw's in here at 51, but he's not his first Bowman.
Yeah.
You've got Walker Jenkins is the number 10 prospect.
He's going to be probably your second. He's easily the second biggest chase in this one.
What team is he on?
Twins.
The Twins. Got it.
Twins, by the way, last like 5 years, I feel like they have always had like – I feel like they do well in Bowman. They have been a really like sneaky good team in Bowman with – you. I mean, you go back all the way to even Royce Lewis – to then Austin Martin, now with like there have been a lot of big prospects who have come through with the Twins. Not many that have clicked, but they have been there.
Yeah, he's ranked first in the organization, obviously. Yep. Aiden Miller, Phillies, ranked 58, third in the organization. Paul Skeens has a second first Bowman, I guess you would call it.
Yeah.
Sebastian Walcott also has a second first Bowman. Mm-hmm. Wyatt Langford's in here as a second first Bowman. And then you got Dylan Cruz, who's a number 7 ranked prospect in baseball. So, and he's first in the Nationals organization. A lot of rumors flying around that he was a Panini guy. So obviously that doesn't seem to be true.
Not the case. Yeah.
So that was just a rumor.
Must have been. Yeah.
It would have been certainly confirmed by now.
I mean, now he does have autos in Panini. Probably.
I took
he's
that,
an elite extra.
I saw that on social media and I was like, okay. Maybe they did sign him to an exclusive, and then Topps was able to, like, you know, get him in there to sign before this deal was in place. But now it seems like that deal never existed, no. I guess, with Panini.
Yeah, I mean, let's hope that those cards are live so that there isn't any cloud of
that would doubt. Oh, boy. Yeah, I don't even want to. Yeah. I don't even want to know what they would do.
But I kind of feel like Topps, they probably wanted to make sure they got them before it was revealed that he was in it, right? Because nobody knew that he was going to be in Bowman necessarily.
No. Well, we were looking through the draft checklist and we're like, he was obviously the big name missing.
We all suspected it. We all kind of were like, well, okay, Dylan Cruz is going to anchor Bowman. That's what they're going to do, which, yeah, felt right. Like, which felt like whether, even before I saw draft, I'm like, they're going to split it somehow where it's going to be Skeens here or there. Like, it always makes sense that usually we'll go, if it's a number one pitcher, they'll go them and draft. And then hitter to anchor, you know, the flagship release.
Yeah, and another, I know guys in draft were saying one of the guys that people were missing out on was Arjun Nimala from the Blue Jays, who's the third ranked prospect on their organization, not a top 100, but probably another nice name to chase as well. He's a shortstop. You know, one of the other things too is there's not a lot of pitchers, and I think Topps has listened over the years. I'm going to sort this sheet
by pitchers.
To see how many actual pitchers there are. I got only one left-handed pitcher who actually he is number 80 on the top 100 list for the Giants, Carson Wisenhunt.
Oh, yeah.
No relation to Ken Wisenhunt. I had to look that up.
No.
And let's see what else.
Yeah, there were not a ton.
There's like five pitchers out of 87.
There's not a ton, and the guys who are in there are pretty notable names, too.
So, Cody, are you conceding that this is not the year of the pitcher? That their first Bowmans are finally gonna, that we're gonna finally have some big sales of pitchers in Bowman.
Paul Skeens is still out there, but yeah, the Paul Skeens market didn't fly off the show. I mean, it's still good, but I think your mic there. Can you adjust? I think your cord might have unplugged real quick.
Cord?
Yeah, it's a little fuzzy. Sorry.
Hello, hello.
There testing. We go. We got it now. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of pitchers too, but I guess you could look at it a couple ways. Yes, the hobby doesn't like pitchers.
They never are. They're just.
But it's anyway. Are we going to miss on the next Clayton Kershaw because we're like so laser focused on hitters, right? Is there not going to be a first Bowman of a guy that could dominate for the next 10 years?
I will say Skeens, I still am going to hold out hope that because I think Skeens is probably going to get called up pretty quick. He's already in AAA. And I think they just wanted to give him a couple more starts. That Pittsburgh rotation has plenty of room for him. And Pittsburgh off to a really nice start right now. I think they're 5-0, maybe 4-1 since the season started with a lot of really exciting young talent. So that could be the type of thing, too, where, like, if Pittsburgh goes on a nice little run here to start the season, we're like, wow, surprising team. And then they call up Paul Skeens. That's just – it kind of reminds me of when Strasburg got called up where it's just like all this excitement, everything's building, and then, boom, the guy is here. And it's this perfect timing that I think could really propel his market, and it could still be the year of the pitcher.
Well, see, the thing about – and a lot of people weren't in the hobby this long, but that's when we got in was the Strasburg mania. But the thing about what they did with Strasburg was is he got called up. He didn't have any cards yet. And they took his base card last minute – and had him sign it, numbered him, and put him in that Bowman. So it was literally
that's
like
crazy.
He had his start, and then Bowman came out the next day, and it was like really impeccable timing.
So were they redemptions at the time?
No, they were just live paper base.
Wow.
So there was no chrome, and then they held out it. They had him sign chrome for Bowman chrome.
Right.
But his first Bowman was a paper, and they had him sign, you know, on the paper autos and stamped them.
Wow.
Or if they were base, they weren't stamped.
Yeah. Wow.
So it was like something that they haven't done ever again. But like, I think he came out in his first game. I think he threw like 14 strikeouts. So it was like, oh my God. Like, it was insane.
It still is. Like, I still remember it so well that debut. It was incredible. One of the best debuts ever. Yeah.
Yeah. So, obviously they planned before the start, but maybe they heard that he was going to be called up and they, kind of rushed to get it in the packs.
Yeah.
And then he got Tommy John, and Bowman Chrome just like completely fell off the face.
Tommy John, and then when he was back, they put him on the pitch count. Oh, sorry, we made the playoffs, but he's not going to pitch in the playoffs. I don't think that's going to happen. I think a lot of teams learn from that. I know there's some like a little bit of like it all paid off with the World Series run, but the career never was what it was.
Well, that's actually Strasburg. Like we may have told the story on the podcast before, but Strasburg, I kind of started Mojo Break because
yeah.
What happened was is we went in the shop and there was actually a shop selling regular Bowman jumbo for like 140, right? And I had looked on Blowout or DA, whoever back then. And I was like, man, they're selling them for 210. I'm like, so the shop like didn't correct itself and sell at the market. I think it was like a comic book store. It's called Heroes. And I was calling around to see who had it, right? And they had it. So I was like, man, that's like $60 profit a box. So I'm like, all right, let's get a wholesale license. And let's pre-order Bowman Chrome because he's going to have his first Bowman Chrome auto in that. So, you know, 2 weeks later, it gets Tommy John. Bowman Chrome's still like 2 months away. And we're like, all right, we were just planning on selling the boxes on eBay. Our cost on Bowman Chrome, this is going to make people laugh, is $39, right? So we're like, all right, let's put them up at like 60, 70 bucks or whatever. There was sellers selling them for $29. So
just,
they were
just
selling
get out of it.
Under cost because they already had foreseen that this product was going to be a dud because no Strasburg was in it, all this other hoopla, whatever. And this is when it was only one auto. There was just one auto. There was no other formats. So we're like, we can't sustain this. We, you know, what are we going to do? We can't buy something for $39 and sell it for $29. And that was like literally all the money we had at the time. So that's when we like started figuring out how to do breaks at that point. Mm-hmm. So because when we started it, when we were under NorCal Sports Cards, and we were just gonna buy boxes, put them on eBay, and sell them. That was the business model.
Yeah.
And then we're like, okay. And then we saw some guys like Firehand and stuff doing breaks, but doing them more as like a friend thing. Like, I'm gonna do this case of Bowman Chrome. I'm gonna keep a spot, and then you guys buy a spot, send PayPal, and I'll record the video tomorrow. Right. And that's how they did things. We're like, how can we turn this into a like more of a business where anybody can come and buy in rather than being in a club. So that was, Strasburg kind of helped.
Strasburg, thank you.
Here we are all these years later. And so what you're telling me is some budding young breaker is looking at Paul Skeens and going, that's the guy. We're all going to invest in him. And we're going to have the next revolution in breaking because of Paul Skeens.
Did Strasburg retire, by the way?
I don't even know. That was such a weird, like, he retired. The team announced he retired. And then he went, what? No, I'm not retired, man. I'm going to try. And then it's still, I don't think, been resolved. So
I'm like, yeah. How many guys are still playing since we started breaking? It's just starting to weigh thin.
Gonna say, oh, yeah, man, it's starting to thin out a little bit.
That generation is out and out. It's the young guys now. Yeah. But I was gonna say, don't you remember a few years ago? Because Topps Fanatics has really switched things up, and really, like you were just going over only five pitchers out of 80 something. Remember that? One of the Bowmans during the pandemic. There was like hella pitchers, and it was like it's like you got to balance it, because it's like. They had a lot of pitchers, of course, that year, whatever year Bowman it was. But then they also still had a lot of hitters as well.
Yeah.
But then, like, people would always complain, like, man, I got that. We do a box, and the people are like, damn, that was all pitchers in there.
Right.
Only pitchers.
Yeah. No hitters, all pitchers.
I mean, you know, to cap it off, but the one thing is you mentioned another pitcher, Yamamoto. I didn't even mention him. Yamamoto is going to be a pitcher where you pull that auto, it is going to be like, that was the biggest hit. If that's your case hit, you are not upset about that. Like, that's huge.
Yeah.
What's his ERA right now?
It's like he had a good start in his last outing, five innings pitched. So it's only two starts into his major league career. We'll see.
So is Bowman's gonna be his best card so far?
Rookie auto, yeah. It's be similar to Shohei.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you know, it won't. I'm assuming it won't say first Bowman on there unless they change it up somehow.
No, it would say rookie.
Yeah, it would say rookie. But
does he have autos as a rookie in that set or just base?
Yeah, base rookies and. Yeah.
There's also some other insert autos of him as well. I want to say in this one too. So it's gonna be the most. Chances. I think Sterling's only got the base auto right now. This is going to be the most chances to get different autos for him.
With parallels, yeah.
Yeah, and there's like one thing I wish they would just do away with is the ultimate autograph thing. So stupid. It's an ultimate autograph book card of Yanquil Fernandez, Drew Jones, Roman Anthony, Paul Skeens, Yoandry Vargas, Max Clark, Walker Jenkins, Spencer Jones, Gabriel Gonzalez, Samuel Zavala, Kevin Alcantara, Tamar Johnson, George Lombard, Jackson Holliday, Jackson Merrill, James Wood, Jackson Chirio, Marcelo Meyer, Sebastian Walcott, Wyatt Langford, Flynn Cestelin, Cole Young, Colson Montgomery, and Ethan Salas. It's 1-1, one card.
It's a lot of guys.
I mean, I think it's a 1-1.
It's got to be, yeah.
Dumb. Stupid. Who wants that? And I'm not even saying because we have to random it. I'm just saying it's dumb.
Yeah.
I mean, generously, 75% of those guys probably are not going to be notable in 5-10 years.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's one thing to have like a Topps triple threads, which we miss. I know they didn't do it this year, but like, it's one thing to have all like Hall of Famers on there, all Yankees or something like
even
that.
Even the one, there was one a couple years ago. It was like all the stars of today where it was like Soto, Acuna, it was all the guys. I'm like, yeah. Maybe there's a couple guys that it won't look great in a few years, but most of those guys are pretty safe.
Yeah, putting all prospects on one card, it is kind of silly. I mean, it's cool as a novelty at first, but then like you guys are right. Only a couple guys of these guys are gonna pan out, and then the card is just gonna be like, you remember that year?
And it's probably all stickers too. So
definitely that is an instant sell. If there's a buyer, like, cool, you want it? Here you go, take it. Yeah.
Well, guys, that's the end of the Bowman segment and the end of the show. Be sure to check out mojobreak.com. We should have Bowman up, at least jumbo cases, by next week, I would say, so you guys can get in and pre-sell your favorite team or whatever guy you're chasing. So be sure to jump on that, and we'll definitely see you guys next week on The Hype, full squad. And check us back. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and check out the breaks on mojobreak.com.